I'm thankful that I've always been part of a church that knew how to get a hold of the Lord and intercede on behalf of others. I mean, my entire life. If you hang around us very long, you're going to see God move among us in a miraculous way. You're going to see that God hears us when we pray. I mean, He is with His people. And they can stand in the gap and take up the hedge between tragedy and comfort, between evil and good. I've seen it in this church and in families and in lives. And I'm convinced that had it not been for the prayers of God's people, there is no telling where we'd be today. Just no telling where we would be. I know people prayed for me or I'd probably be in jail today. Yeah, praying mother and praying father, praying grandparents. I'm thankful for them praying for me. And many times they stand in the gap and they take up the hedge. And they're the only thing that keeps us from great, great calamities of life and troubles. And I'm thankful for that. I am. I love what Brother Patrick read in Sunday school. I think that was the last verse or about the last verse that he read from the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, that there's good and bad, wealth and poverty that come into our life to show us that we need more than ourselves. We need God to show us these things happen to us. This happens to humanity to show us that we need Him. That's what it says. We need Him. Need more than what we've got here. We need Him. We need God in our lives. Take your Bibles and turn again to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. I'll be reading from chapter... I plan to read from chapter 2. Okay? I kept trying to get to chapter 2 last week and kind of got bogged down in chapter 1. Seemed like the Holy Spirit just... calls me to focus on the subject of Christ bringing us peace and redemption and the kind of peace that He provides. You know, the psalmist said in Psalms 29 and 11 that the Lord will strengthen His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And we looked at three distinct areas of peace. We looked at judicial peace, how to have peace with God. There's only one way to have peace with God, and that's through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you can have peace with a holy God is to be judicially dealt with, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, to where your sins are removed and you're allowed to stand justified before God. That only happens through the cross. Only happens through the cross. We talked about the peace of that redemption, having peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God, Romans 5 and 1. A subjective peace comes into our heart, lets us know that we're in fellowship and in relationship with the Holy God. We talked about that peace being a supernatural peace, a peace that comes from God. And it is a peace that comes from God. In the first chapter in verse 2, Paul says to the church of Corinth, it's a peace that comes from God. It's a supernatural peace that comes from God. And he concludes the letter in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 that it is the peace of God. It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that we get to enjoy that has power in it, supernatural power in it, that gets us through calamities and trials and troubles. It's a great thing to have. And if you don't have the peace of God and redemption through Christ Jesus, you need that today. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And so I got kind of bogged down in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And I preached last month from this second chapter, a portion of this second chapter, where it talks about how that we have received Christ. He says in verse 6 of the second chapter, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And I looked at the two words, as you have received, So walk. As you received, so walk. And it's very important that we live out our Christian life in the same manner that we came to Christ. As you have received, so walk. A lot of churches and a lot of people who get saved, they get off target. They get dabbling in other things that take them off course. And it's important for us to stay focused and stay the course. And so we got, as you receive Christ, so walk in Him. I'm going to begin reading a little farther down from there, starting in verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, starting in verse 10. And I want you to pay close attention to verse 10. This is where I'm going with this. And ye are complete in Him. You're complete in Him. Now, he builds on that statement and he says, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect to holy days, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body of the law and the ordinances that were given in the Old Testament, Jesus is the true substance of that shadow. And what he's doing here is he's saying, don't go back to legalism. You don't need legalism in Christ. And many of the Judaizers, we know this throughout the New Testament, were trying to get the church to add the law to faith, or the law to grace, or the law to Christ. And Paul is saying you don't need to add legalism or some kind of ritual or some kind of system. All you need is Christ. All you need is Christ. You are complete in Him. You don't need legalism. And then he begins in verse 18, talk about mysticism. There's a lot of that going on in church today. There are even some Baptist churches, some so-called Christian churches that have drifted off in mysticism and this kind of voodoo spiritual, you know, religion that goes on. And he talks about that. He said, don't let nobody beguile you. Don't let anybody beguile you of your reward. Listen, if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Everything you need. You don't need to get into some kind of voluntary humility and the worship of angels and intruding in those things which He hath not seen, vainly puffed up by His fleshly mind, and not holding the head. When you move away from Jesus Christ, even if you dabble in some of these so-called spiritual things, listen, the Holy Ghost was given to us to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ. Jesus said He would send the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would speak of Me. That's what Jesus said. He wouldn't speak of Himself. He would put emphasis and stress upon Me and upon Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Ghost, the true Spirit of God points to Christ. But there's a lot of spirits in the world. Amen? And we need to learn to try the spirits. John would tell us, you need to try the spirits. not all of those spirits are from God. Not all of those spirits are from God. So he talks about this mysticism, I remember going to a church early in my ministry. A friend of mine that I worked with, he invited me to come to his church, and I invited him to come to my church, I went to his church, and man, I tell you what, they scared the fire out of me. Some of the stuff they had going on, they had all these paintings on the wall, and man, you'd go in, and man, the music was bad. I mean, it was like everything was just blah, 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 blah. They're like trying to beat some kind of spirit into you, you know, and it frightened me a little bit. I mean, I knew about the Spirit of God, but that wasn't the Spirit of Christ. If you've ever been to one of those churches, maybe you haven't. But they're popping up everywhere. There's new spiritual feelings associated with Christianity. This false humility and this emphasis on other things other than Jesus Christ. If Christ is not receiving the supremacy, remember what I read last week from the first chapter? If he is not receiving the supremacy in your Christianity, then it is not Christianity. And so there's this, he warns them about that. This probably is having some reference to the Gnosticism and some of the, well, I call it voodoo religion, but I don't know if that's correct or not. But he said, you got to have the head. You got to have Christ. You've got to have Christ. If you want to have salvation and redemption and peace and forgiveness and complete salvation, you must have Christ. Must have Christ. And so he talks a little bit about that. And he said, you got to have the head, you know, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment and ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. You know, you've got, if you're going to have a functioning, sound health and body, you got to have a head. Okay? You got to have Christ. That's his point. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? Now he's talking about these come from the world. They're the spirit of the world. They're the rudiments of this world. They were birthed in this world and in the minds of men, as we'll see in just a minute. And he says, you need to stay away from that. And then he says, you know, taste not, touch not, handle not, which all are to perish with the use after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. A show of wisdom in will worship, okay? You need to underscore that. A show is just a show, okay? A show of wisdom. I tell you, you go to some churches and the way they start their service, it's showtime. Huh? It's showtime. A show of not only putting something on stage or display, but also a show of wisdom in will worship. And then he goes on about this humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, that's not mysticism. That's kind of an asceticism. You know, like the monks that go out and, you know, they eat beans and rice and deprive themselves of life's things and, you know, putting on this show. Listen, friend, you need Jesus Christ. I've often asked myself, if I wasn't a Christian, and I were to ask somebody, what does Christianity offer me? What good would it do me? In our culture today, in our society, you would have a barrage of answers, wouldn't you? There are people that will tell you, well, if you will join our church, your business will be good. I remember when I pastored in Memphis, there was a man there that he became very wealthy and a very popular real estate agent and made millions of dollars and was very rich. And his grandfather was a Missionary Baptist preacher, a very popular one in West Tennessee. And he he decided he would, if he joined the big church, it would be good for his business. And he did that. But God eventually brought him down and he lost it all and he became poor and then he came back to us. And that just, right, huh? Just our luck. But there's a lot of confusion out there about what Christianity is here to offer you. You know, some people think that it offers you wealth and health and prosperity. Some people perhaps think that, you know, if I get saved and I become a Christian and I join the church, I'll have a better job, I'll get a better career, I'll get to fulfill my ambitions and my dreams and everything that I need, all the good things of life will come to me. Now, there's a lot of that kind of preaching going on out there. There's a lot of confusion about the message of the gospel. And preaching that kind of message might grow a church, but it is unbiblical. It's unbiblical. In a word, what Christianity offers you is Jesus Christ. Everything, listen to me, everything you need will be found in Him. We are complete in Him. Our salvation is complete in Him. As He talks about in these verses, where He talks about how that we've been quickened together with Him, your salvation is complete. Everything you need, the tranquility of life, the peace of life, the goodness of life, is provided by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Yeah. And that's what we offer, amen? I mean, that's what sound biblical preaching offers people. It offers people Jesus Christ. And that was what Paul did when he preached. You might remember in Corinthians chapter 1, remember in verse 30, you know, he made it real clear that the wisdom and the righteousness and the sanctification, everything we need, we find in Jesus Christ. He talks about Jesus doing the work of God. He talks about Jesus bringing to us the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God. He talks about Him bringing to us the sanctification of God. The redemption of God is brought to us through Jesus Christ. All wisdom, and I love that seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes that was read in Sunday school about wisdom. Man, did that fit what I had on my heart? Huh? All wisdom is found in Jesus Christ, divine wisdom. All righteousness, all the benefits of redemption, they are found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Everything is found in Christ. But see, the Colossians were being told that Christ wasn't enough at their church. They needed to commingle. They needed to add a little legalism, a little mysticism, a little asceticism, you know, to make it all complete. And let me say this. This is very important. We're being told the same exact thing today. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All the blessings of the heavenlies flow to us through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. They come through Him. He's the mediator, amen? Of these blessings, of these graces, of these mercies, all we need is Christ. And we got to believe that. Now, let me say this to those of you who have sought the Lord. Okay? This is how we found Christ. By trusting in Him with all of our hearts. Believing that we could be only complete in Him. That the fullness of our completion and redemption and our life could only be found in Him. That kind of faith is saving faith. And that's one of the reasons that he says earlier, as you have received Christ, that's the way you need to live. That's the way you need to walk. That's the way you need to practice. That's the way you need to believe. That's the way you need to live out your life. That's the way the church is to live out its life. In complete surrenderance and faith that all we need is found in Jesus. Now, those of you that have perhaps sought the Lord, if you hold on to the smallest little thing, thinking that you need that in addition to Jesus Christ, it will keep you from being saved. If you're trusting in water baptism or some kind of ritual or some kind of ordinance or some kind of act or some kind of good works or something that you've done in your life or maybe some sin that you think cannot be purged by the blood of Jesus, that you need something else in your life other than Jesus Christ to save you, you'll never find Him. Amen? We're talking about saving faith just for a minute, okay? Saving faith. Now, I believe that Christ Jesus is Christianity. Okay, I really believe that with all of my heart, that Christ Jesus is Christianity. And all these bells and whistles and things that people try to add to Him, they diminish Him. And let me make myself clear. Anything added to Jesus Christ is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ and is a false gospel. The true gospel is centered, the centrality of the church and the centrality of the gospel and the centrality of the Bible and the centrality of the Holy Spirit and the centrality of our lives and the centrality of faith, grace, and mercy and redemption is only found in one place and is founded and centered on Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard to be a sound preacher today. Let me tell you why. People that preach like I preach, they consider me ignorant and unlearned. I mean, there's other stuff, you know, that you need. You need philosophy. You need, you know, worldly coaching, worldly counseling, and worldly advising. And, you know, you got to incorporate the world into the church. Folks, I'm opposed to that. He called the things of the world these begging, beggarly elements. Isn't that what he called them? Yeah. You know, why would you want to bring in these beggarly elements, the rudiments of the world? That was in Galatians, I think, or Hebrews. But why would you want to bring in these rudiments of the world when you have the supernatural things found in Jesus Christ? I counseled a young couple, not part of... I do a lot of counseling for couples that aren't members of our church. For whatever reason, I guess they don't know me, don't know this church, but I've gotten a reputation here in Hendersonville. A lot of people come see me. And I told a young couple here recently, I said, you know, it's very simple. When Christ is the Lord of your home, you'll have very few problems. If any problems at all. If you're Christ-centered... If you and your companion would be Christ-focused and Christ-centered, your problems will go away. If you're really committed to obeying Christ and doing what He said, and you're both committed to doing that, then your lives will become harmonious. And I believe the life of the church becomes harmonious when we get Christ-focused and Christ-centered. Amen? I really do. It's all found in Him. Listen, He's all that's offered in the gospel because He's all you need. Okay? He's all you need. And anything added to Him, okay, takes away from Him. Are you with me? You are fully complete in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, remember he was at Corinth? Yeah. He told the people at Corinth, he says, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. All I need is Jesus. When I come into this heathen community and preach to this heathen city, all I need is Jesus Christ. I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When he talked about his salvation, you might recall that. He talked about it was in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. He began to unravel his life, and he says, you know what? When I came to know Christ, everything else I counted as loss. Let me read a few of these. Let's look in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Less doubtless that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. They're just rubbish. Dung, just rubbish. I count it all just rubbish in comparison to having Jesus Christ. He said, this is powerful. He said, I count it all lost and count them all but dung that I may win Christ, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Listen, everything you need for your life can be obtained through Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about what He did. He resurrected on the third day. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He's alive. He is alive. And Paul says, man, if I need some power, all I need to do is tap into that power and I can get through anything. Listen, our salvation is complete in Christ. What wisdom we need is found in Christ. Our sanctification is found in Christ. And if you're lost today and you've never been redeemed, redemption is only found at the cross in Jesus Christ. I only have one message, and it's Christ. We tell sinners they can have a relationship with a holy God if they'll come to Jesus Christ. Amen? We tell them that they can know that they're saved. They can have everything they need eternally if they will come to Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is old-fashioned, and I know people think I'm naive and ignorant, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, you lay a hold of the Lord, whatever problem you got going on in your life, He can fix it. Whatever you're trying to get through, okay? I mean, drug addicts, alcoholics, people abused as children. Bad marriages. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. And I can show you example after example after example of people in the Bible that came to God through Jesus Christ, and their lives were a wreck. But everything they needed to fix their lives were found in Jesus Christ. Y'all believe that, don't you? Do we really have anything else to offer a sick world? Are we going to rely on something else to fix our wrecked nation? They need Jesus. When John Leland went to Madison, you know, God had set the stage for him to be able to do that with a revival. I mean, a Holy Ghost, Christ-centered revival, where Christ was lifted up and the Holy Spirit started drawing people during that great awakening. And this nation, people in this nation that were raised all kinds of different things, all kinds of different religions, were getting saved. In all different churches, they were getting saved. They were falling out of the floor and they were calling upon God and looked to Jesus Christ and they were changed. Of course, Baptists always preached you have to have a change. But many of these other religions didn't. But they were getting changed in these other religions. So they all started going into the Baptist church because Baptists believe you got to have a change. Amen? You got to be born again. So the Baptists in Virginia, I mean, New England area, I mean, they started just, I mean, it was all Baptists. All Baptists. That's why a Baptist preacher could walk up to Madison and demand the Bill of Rights, because he said, you don't push for this, I'll run against you and I'll win. We got religious freedom because of Jesus being preached. Y'all believe that? Yeah. Yeah. Because Jesus was preached. So I still think it'll fix things today. I really do. I know it'll fix your life. Jesus came into this world to save this world. He came into this world to redeem those that had fallen. He came to redeem this fallen world. And He can redeem you from your sins. But you're going to have to look to Him. I want us to get a song, Brother David. You're going to have... All I can do is lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And there were people that came to Him, and some of them had legion of demons in them. I mean, they were crazy, cutting themselves, running around in graves, wearing gothic clothes like some of them do today. But they came to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus healed them and saved them. You had people's lives that were wrecked. Women who were known prostitutes. That after they got saved, they would be at the feet of Jesus and they would be weeping, cleaning His feet with their tears. You have these pharisaical men, religious, pompous men that were so far from God and they were so full of self-righteousness, like Nicodemus, who came to Him by night and Jesus said, you got to be born again. That when His body was claimed after His death on the cross, here comes the man that I believe got born again and pleaded for the body of Christ. I believe Nicodemus got saved. And of course, the big Pharisee, the Apostle Paul, one of the most self-righteous men you ever met. But met the Lord, heard about Jesus. Amen. There was an old deacon. His name was Stephen. And while he was being stoned, remember what did he do? He lifted up Christ. He told the Jews they're going to have to trust in Jesus. And that impacted this Pharisee that consented to the death of that man. And on the road to Damascus with papers, legal papers, to put Christians in prison. Met the Lord. Amen. Fell on his face before Jesus Christ and got saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. He found out that all he really needed was Jesus. All these people, that's the conclusion to this, is that they discovered that all they really need is Jesus. My friend, listen to me. You need him. You need him. Now, I'm not preaching religion. I'm not preaching denomination this morning. Okay? I'm not preaching our creed or articles of faith. I'm preaching to you what you must have and you absolutely need, and it's Christ. No one goes to heaven apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one. Nobody. And he's all we have, and he's all we need. Amen. He is our all in all. Would you make him your all in all today? Would you trust him? I mean, really trust him completely to be all that you need. Stand to your feet. Somebody here, you need to be saved. This altar is open. We will pray with you.